We're again thankful to be here also this morning and wish each one the peace and grace of God as we're gathered here. For the message, I'd like to turn to Matthew 25. I've appreciated being here. The article this morning was on holy matrimony. And as we went through that, was just thinking of marriage. And the Bible talks about the bride of Christ, which is the church. And we're just thinking, how is our marriage to Christ? How is it coming along? We talked about a marriage between a man and a woman, you know, and the ups and downs that can be there, especially if we're not committed. But maybe we'll have a little more on that later. But I'd like to title the message, Our Several Ability. Our Several Ability. And it's found here in verse 15 of Matthew 25. But I'd like to start reading in verse 14. Says, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called unto his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him that hath 10 talents, for unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, going back to the first part there, our several ability. We've often heard about 100%. Are you giving 100% of your ability? Parents realize that when they have children born into this world, they realize that there is a lot of potential there that needs to be developed. It needs to be worked for as far as the ability. But when we get that ability, I had to think here of verse 14 where he says, he called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. It wasn't their goods, it was his goods. So when we look at the potential, or when we look at our abilities, God gave those and he owns them. He actually owns them. He owns my ability to write my name. He owns my ability to process a beef. And he owns Henry's ability to fix a mower. Everything that we can do, he owns that. He's the owner of the fact that we can do what we do. And so all the ability that we have, with him being the owner, he knows if we're doing what we can do, or if we are shirking our duty, or shirking our ability, or not giving 100%. He knows that. I don't think any of us want to be thrown into outer darkness. We don't. But that man, when he gave him his goods, he gave him ability. He gave him that ability, and he went and hid that ability in the earth and did nothing. Jesus was like saying, you could have at least put my money into the bank, and then when I came back, I would have received some interest out of it. I would have gotten some value, but he hid it in the earth, saying that he knew that he was a hard man. Is there any difference when we look at life and we say, I have had a hard life? Is there any difference from that and saying that God is a hard man? We know that God gives us abilities, and he gives us the means to persevere. He gives us the means to do that. So, and he talks here a lot about faithfulness. Thou good and faithful servant, he calls it. Are we faithful in our abilities? And I remember when we were little children, you know, we'd go around and peel our shirt sleeves up, you know, and show each other our muscles. And I remember once when there was a fella in school that was kind of like a bully, you know, and he was going around and showing his, you know, big muscle here. And then he asked a smaller boy, you know, let's see yours. Let's see what you got. And this little boy, you know, he really put his arm up, you know, and tried to ball that thing up, make it as big as he could. Sometimes we had the deceitfulness to take our shirts and make them real tight there, you know, to make it stand out even more. You know, we were trying to do everything we can to make someone believe we were strong. But when this little boy showed what he had, the big boy said, oh, you've got a little bit there, but yeah, you need to develop that yet, or something like that. You still have some growing up to do. But how is it with us? You know, in some of the actions that we have, when someone has more ability than what others do, what is that attitude? Are we willing to breathe on that and say, well, yes, you know, give him encouragement in that? And just simply realize that all the abilities that we have is owned by someone else. It's not owned by us. So why would we have any reason to have pride in our abilities? Sometimes we have gatherings where it takes fast thinking. You know, I have never been a fast thinker. You know, there's so many times when there would be a riddle given or some kind of Bible quiz. And you know, you want to be, you try to think about this, but there's times that my brain just kind of locks up. But I know there's others who are much sharper in their thinking than I am, and they have the answers. If you are that way, God gave you that ability. God put that thought into your mind. But when we're thinking of giving 100%, as you look on your life, let's analyze all the things that you are involved in. And I know that's likely hard to do. All the things that you're involved in, Are you really doing your best? Someone said something this morning about getting up in the morning. It varies some. I think it was Brother Everett when he was talking about getting up in the morning. That varies. And I know the feeling of laying there and sometimes how hard it is to get these bones up and going. The bones is our structure, by the way. It's not always easy. Sometimes it's very easy depending what is planned and you're all into it. It's not hard to get up and get going. But when you don't feel the best, think about that ability. And I've met people in the morning already who said, you know, you ask how they're doing, and say, well, I'm here, or I was able to get up, so things are good. Sometimes people don't wake up. They can't get up again. It's over. That's why we need to take inventory of every day that we have. Are we doing our best for the Master? How is it with our ability? Was it Martin Luther that said that a religion that costs nothing, suffers nothing, is worth nothing? It was something like that. But when we want to follow Jesus, it is costly. It takes all of us. It takes everything you've got. It doesn't come for free. And that means that we have to get rid of self. When you look at Bible characters and you think of people who gave it all they had, who were those people? They gave it all they had. And I have to think of Matthew 16 when Jesus asked, you know, who do men say that I am? And there were varying replies there. And then Jesus said, who do you think I am? And Peter was bold. He spoke up and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Peter was a man who was giving the impression that he was giving it all he had. Giving it all he had. He was there. And I believe he was doing that. He was excited. He was excited about the program. And he wanted to get with it. He wanted to show the world. And by the way, what Brother Henry shared there, we had trusted that it should have been him. Their enthusiasm was flagging because they didn't understand. But really, they were right. Later, they could have said, wow, we were right after all. We thought we were beginning to think we were wrong, but we were right after all. And they were. This is the one whom they had trusted that he should come and save the people from their sins and so on. He was the one. But Peter was one who was wanting to give it all he had. And then it turned around soon after that Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan, because you don't savor the things that are of God. You savor the things that are of men. You're still liking the things that feel good to you. You're still liking that. Because Peter was really trying to be kind of like protecting Jesus. Jesus was saying what's going to happen to him and that he was going to be killed and raised again the third day. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto you. Peter was, he was giving it all he had. But was that good enough? There's times that we needed to be guided in the things that we want to do. And then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So how does this work when we have abilities? We feel we have abilities, and then we're supposed to deny ourselves. In other words, it is just the opposite so many times of what we think where strength is. And the Apostle Paul found that when I am weak, then I am strong. Because when we are weak, we allow the strength of God to come in, and we can, coupled with that strength, we can continue and we can go on. The Apostle Paul learned that when he became nothing of himself, then he could become stronger. And that is what Jesus is saying here. He goes on and says, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." Jesus said, "Come and dine," and we like that. We sing the song, you know, sometimes before we eat a noon meal. "Come and dine, the master calleth. Come and dine." We like that. But Jesus is also saying, "Come and die." Is that right? It is. Jesus is saying here, "Come and die so that you might live." And sometimes that is hard. I'd like to talk a bit about submission. Submission is a word that, I don't know if we like it or not, but to actually do submission sometimes is difficult. All of us have to do with submission. There was a dad once who had a boy, and the boy did not behave himself, and so dad spanked him. And after the spanking, the little boy said, "That didn't even hurt." Well, what was dad supposed to do? He spanked him again. And again, the little boy, "That didn't even hurt." When it really did. But he's saying, "That didn't even hurt." That's not submission. But like it was for me when I was a little boy, and my dad would spank me. And I remember one spanking that I got. I acted like he was killing me to try to get him to not spank so hard. But that didn't work. But see, whenever we need something like that, there is something in there that the parents are trying to do for that little boy and that little girl. They're trying to do something. They're trying to accomplish something. And that accomplishing is submission. It's called submission. But all of us in all phases of our life need submission. It is something that we need to strive for. And it's something that the man who was given the 10 talents, he submitted to the abilities that God gave him, and he produced. And also the one who had the 2 talents, he submitted to what he was called to do, and he produced. Both of them doubled the money. But the one person, he would not submit. He was just saying something again. He resented. He actually resented the things that God gave him. He resented it and then just buried it in the earth. And he was living for only himself. This morning we talked about holy matrimony. And all of those of you who are here that are married, you know about holy matrimony. And when you look at your marriage, and let's just do that for a little bit. When you look at your marriage, how would you rate your marriage? Do you have it in your mind that your spouse is not doing everything that she or he can? Maybe a man is thinking, a brother is thinking, that if my wife would just submit to me, things would go better, things would be okay. And a sister could be thinking that if my husband would just love me, things would go better. It would go better. And I have already heard say, you know, 50-50 marriages don't work. I believe I've heard Henry say that. You know, when each one goes 50%, it's supposed to come together, right? To where they could walk together. But somehow, you know, we are fallible human beings, and what we think is 50% might not be the 50% our spouse is thinking of. So, but I know that I've already heard in some of these messages when people get married that each one needs to do 100%. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean when each one does 100%? And I was just thinking about this. You know, none of the sisters would appreciate if the husband would just come to you and say, "You need to submit to me." And the brothers would not appreciate when their wives would come to them and say, "You need to love me." It is what the Bible says, to love and submit. And is that a 50-50 marriage? Maybe it would be even less than that, like it would be. But I have to conclude, when I thought about this a little bit, that a 100% marriage is that even if the other one disobeys and is not a Christian, I will still submit, I will still love her, even if he or she does not. And that is found in Peter, where it is telling the women that if you have a husband that is not a Christian, a husband that will not obey the truth, that you need to have a conversation that is going to win him to Christ. So if you have a husband that tells you that you need to submit, how would it sound if you would say, "Well, yes, I'll gladly submit to you"? Or if you have a wife, or if you have a wife that says, "I will not submit to you," that you would say, "I will still love you as Christ loved the church." Is that now not 100%? But when we have two people doing 100%, then I would say that you have the perfect marriage. And it makes me think of Brother Henry when he talked about being in the permissive will of God or being in the perfect will of God. I would say that if there is a marriage here and it is not 100% on both sides, it goes back into the permissive category of marriage instead of the perfect will of God. The perfect marriage is when each one says, "I will do 100%. And that means even if he doesn't, I will. And if she doesn't, I will. Did God give us the ability to love and to submit? Or are we saying that something else came in the way? "I knew you were a hard master. I knew you didn't really care about me." And you use that as an excuse to do less. Then you're 100%. It really is no excuse, because God gave that ability. Esau and Isaac, they had marriages that were vastly different from each other. And when we talked about holy matrimony this morning, it was that it was only to be in the Lord. It asked the question about, you know, I guess it made a statement in there in a sense. It says, it is permissible in some circumstances to part and remarry. But it was in the true and false section. So it was, of course, marked false. And marriage, for some reason, is something that has so many different circumstances that it can almost like turn into a gray area depending what someone asks you as far as the situations you get yourself into. But we do know that when you start, if you start giving a little bit, you find yourself, it's just like gears on a cog. And when you slip one gear, eventually you will slip the second gear, and the third gear, and it just keeps on going until God's commandments go into oblivion and you just can't. But when it is to where it's different from the beginning, and God said that in the beginning he had the perfect blueprint for there to be one man and one woman. And if another marriage happened while a spouse was still living, it was just not God's best. It was like a permissive marriage, but it was not a perfect marriage. And the Bible is so full of instances where a man took on another wife and then the problems that came out of that. Because look, it is built into us to be possessive. And God wants us to be possessive in that area. He wants us brothers to possess a wife. You can shake her hand, but, you know, there's a certain code. There's a certain code of behavior that we need to honor. A certain code of behavior that we need to honor. And if it's not honored, it starts getting our attention. And it should. And God made it that way. Because if that is not there, I mean, you know how the animals are. They accept and not accept and just on a whim, just, you know. But God brought us so much further than the animals. We are connected to God by his Holy Spirit, and we get our directions from the Bible and from the Holy Spirit of God. And one thing that just came to me, you know, just lately was, you know, when you talk about the leading of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, sometimes we hear the remark that we prayed about this and we feel God's leading. His Holy Spirit is speaking to us and telling us things. Did you know that when you say that, the Holy Spirit comes to you from right out of this book and speaks to you? It's not like, well, we have the book here. And we pray to God, and then the Holy Spirit comes and he talks to us. You cannot bypass this here. It is more like the Word is here, and the Holy Spirit comes down from the Word, and he tells us things, and he gives us guidance and leading. So if somebody tells you that the Holy Spirit told him thus and thus, and it doesn't quite look right with this, what do you do with that? What do you do with it? Maybe we should just leave it. But I don't want anything to do with it. For myself, I don't want anything to do with a spirit that does not come out of the Word of God. Because Jesus became flesh and Jesus was the Word. And out of the Holy Spirit, we believe in the Trinity, God, Father, and Holy Spirit. And those three are one. And the will of God is right here. And so the Holy Spirit comes from the Word of God and speaks to us and tells us how we should live. It tells us what to do. And that's wonderful. That is wonderful. And it helps us in the abilities that he gives us to practice the things that his word tells us. He says here in verse 29, "For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that he hath." In other words, if you have been given a lot, give a lot. If you have received little, if you think that you have received little, and so you're just not into giving much, he says, it's going to be taken away from what the little you've got. Even the little that you've got will be taken away from you and given to somebody else. So it's so important That as we live and we realize, you know, we talk a lot about the blessings we have. Oh, we are such a blessed people. We have so many blessings. We have shoes to wear and homes to go to and places that things that we can do to enjoy life. There is so many blessings that we have. And we hear often, we are so blessed, such a blessed people. Well, did you know that more is required of us? There's another place in the Bible where it talks about, you know, to him that is given much, much is asked. But let's not turn this into some kind of circus where we're all looking at each other, hey, you could do more. Let's look at ourselves and let's get ourselves in the Word and be sure that we, the potential that we have, that we are putting that forth. Because as the song we sang, my Jesus, I love thee, I know thou art mine. And if we sang that from our heart and we really believe that and we act like that, we're going to act like we love Jesus. We're going to obey him. We're going to receive his commandments and do them. And we're going to give 100%, not 99%. We're going to give it all we have. And I know I failed in the area of giving God everything that I have. But it is what he asks us to do. Give it all. The song is, you're all on the altar of sacrifice laid. Is it all there? You cannot give more than you sacrifice. You can really not give more than what you're willing to give away. It all has to do with dying to self so that we can live for Christ. It's what it's all about. Let's kneel to pray.